All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today is April 9th, 2026. And the good news is that our ceasefire in the Middle East appears to be holding-ish for now. Yesterday, it didn't look so good. I'm not going to lie. We talked in the morning live stream yesterday, and it wasn't a live stream. It was recorded. But we talked yesterday about how, okay, we've got a ceasefire, but the missiles were still flying. That seems to have tapered off. When we went to bed last night, it wasn't the case. There was still a lot of shooting going on. I was checking a lot of the OSIN channels and the military reporting feeds and Twitter this morning. Not a lot of reports of missile attacks. Lebanon notwithstanding, the Israelis and Hezbollah are still shooting at each other. But other than that, it appears that the ceasefire is holding. So, look, that's good news. No missile and no more missile attacks in the UAE or at Qatar, at least as of 8:47 a.m. Eastern time today. That being said, the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. I mean, we're still doing this thing or talking about this thing with the toll booth, which I still don't understand how that's going to work. I have a hard time believing that the Kuwaitis and the Emiratis and the Iraqis and the Saudis are all going to, and Bahrainis are all going to pay basically an extortion to the Iranians in order to navigate international waterways. I'm just having a hard time believing that. But at least we're all like pretending that's going to be the way of things from now on. You know, okay, yeah, we're going to directly finance terrorism in order to maintain freedom of navigation. I really don't think that's going to play out, but that everybody seems to be talking that way. But for now, at least the shooting, most of the shooting has stopped. That being said, oil is up a little bit this morning, $3, $4 higher following yesterday's precipitous $15 drop on the shaky ceasefire announcement. Stocks are ticking down a little bit here. The Dow's down about 150 points the last time I looked. That's after rising nearly 1,300 points yesterday. Now, a lot of that rallying in stocks we saw yesterday was forced buying, short covering. I don't know how much of that was really like enthusiasm that, oh, yeah, you know, peace in the Middle East now in our time and we're all going to go live in prosperity. It's not really the feeling I get, but for now, the market is holding most of the gains from yesterday. Now, as oil is rising a little bit, it's still much higher than we started this conflict. We got some inflation data came in this morning, the personal consumption expenditures, the PCE. That is the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. That came out for the month of February, mind you. This is slightly delayed data, and this predates the war in the Middle East. But February PCE headline came in at 2.8% year over year. That is unchanged from January, roughly in line with expectations. No big surprises there. Core PCE was down a tick to 3.0%, down from 3.1. That's basically a rounding error. Inflation didn't really budge in February. That will not last. Inflation is obviously going to be significantly higher due to energy prices for the month of March. How much those energy price increases bleed over into other categories in inflation will depend on how long these oil prices stay elevated. Look, we're already starting to see that. Delta announced today that they're increasing bag fares after yesterday saying they were taking a $2 billion hit for higher fuel prices. We can see how the energy costs are starting to bleed over into other categories. So inflation's going to go up here. For how long and by how much, that's still a big question. We also got GDP. We got the final revision for the fourth quarter gross domestic product here in the United States, and it was revised lower again. Now, GDP is still growing. This is where you got to be careful with the language here. They revised the estimate lower, but it's still growing. Fourth quarter GDP now grew by 0.5%. That is down from the prior estimate of 0.7% economic growth. And that second estimate was down sharply from the initial estimate of 1.4%. So over the span of the last 4 months, we went from 1.4% GDP down to a 0.5%. Big reductions in our estimates here. And that's down sharply from 4.4% that we had in the prior quarter. So U.S. GDP is growing, but just barely. It seems reductions in investment was what drove that. That could be either reductions in buildings or maybe reductions in inventory driving that. I'm not sure breaking it down by the specific categories, but GDP growth is not what we thought it was. And also interesting in those GDP numbers, personal spending went up, but personal income went down. Now, how does your spending go up when your income goes down? If you said debt, congratulations, you're able to think for yourself. We continue to live beyond our means at the personal, municipal, state, county, federal, every level. We've also got a couple of headlines about artificial intelligence this morning. First, we've got OpenAI has paused their UK Stargate data center in the least shocking headline of the last 12 months. And I say least shocking because building data centers in Europe is an effing stupid thing to do. Keep in mind, power prices in Europe are something like 10 times what they are in cheaper U.S. markets. And if data centers are already not profitable in the United States and they already don't have access to the power they need to keep growing, then what the heck do you think is going to happen in Europe? Well, Sam Altman said a thing and everybody was like, oh, yay, all the data centers in Europe. And then physics gets a vote and, well, we are pausing the data center. They didn't say canceling. They said pause. We just hit the pause button. But pauses have a funny way of turning into cancellations. We also got some Meta headlines in the AI space. Meta released their Muse Spark large language model. And you're probably sitting there saying, oh, good, another large language model. That's just what we needed. You know, we've already got like 15 of them or 16 of them. One more. Yeah. AGI just around the corner, right? And by the way, Muse Spark. What marketing brainiac came up with Muse Spark? What a horrible name for a product. But I digress. This is Meta's first new large language model since they abandoned their Llama plans, which was very lackluster after spending hundreds of billions of dollars on that. They decided to spend a few hundred billion dollars more. They created the Meta Superintelligence Labs. They bought Scale AI, hired Alexander Wang to run it. This is their first foray into AI since abandoning the plans for Llama. We'll see how it goes. Some initial estimates show it's kind of But Meta stock was up on that news. Meta is also in the news today. They're committing to spend $21 billion with CoreWeave, my favorite company in the whole wide world. What's the point of this story? Why would Meta like make this big grandiose announcement about how much money they're wasting, how much money they're spending on AI? Why? Because CoreWeave is going to take that headline and then they're going to go to the private credit markets and they're going to try to borrow money against that commitment. Is that commitment binding? I don't know. We didn't see the details of it. But this is another example of they're using headlines to try to free up the money to be able to deliver on the promises that they've made that they don't have the money to pay for. CoreWeave stock is ripping on that news. And we've also got some more details about that PIMCO Oracle data center debt deal that we talked about yesterday. Special purpose vehicles, interest only, already trying to sell it. You got to love what's going on there. And, you know, guys, they're not saying it. They're not using the words private credit in these AI headlines. But keep in mind this Meta story and this PIMCO story that overlaps significantly with this private credit blow up that has been happening in the background of this war in the Middle East for the last couple of months. Where are they going to get the money to pay for all this stuff? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. But in the meantime, why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. Don't forget that like button. Don't forget that subscribe button right next to it so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads as we go through markets. And right now, the S&P 500 is down 16 points or 0.25%, holding on to most of the gains from yesterday. The Dow is off by 140 points or 0.29% lower after rising 1,300 points yesterday. The NASDAQ is off by 46 points or 0.18%. A little bit of red, not surprising after yesterday's gains. And emphasis, a little bit of red, holding most of it. The DXY is lower again this morning at 98.94. That's off by 10 basis points. Looking over at the bond market, we've got the 30-year yield is higher by a half a point. At 4.891%. The 10-year is higher by a fraction of 1 point at 4.291%. The 2-year yield is down 1 point and change at 3.783%. And the 1 month is at 3.641, off by a fraction of 1 point. Not a lot happening in the bond market today. We've got Bitcoin is holding right around $71,224. That's higher by about $150 versus this point yesterday as priced on Coinbase. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got a mixed bag here. Spot gold is at $4,742. That's higher by about $23 or 0.5%. June COMEX gold futures are down by $9.5 at $47.68 or about 0.2% lower. Spot silver is at $74.33. That's higher by a quarter or about 0.34%. May COMEX silver futures are at $74.41. That's down by almost a dollar or 1.3%. Silver is off the highs we saw yesterday of around 77, but still holding in the mid-70s, and I still like the shiny. Copper is lower by 0.84%. Platinum is off by 0.88%. Palladium down by 2% and change. WTI crude is up 5.5% here at $99.63. Let's take a look at that oil chart here, $99.63. Again, you know, we're higher today. We got a little bit of a green candle there. All right, that's not great. Oil prices going up, but in the context of look at that big red candle we saw yesterday, again, oil hanging on to most of the decline from yesterday. Although, is this going to be like another case of, remember this, like from, what was this, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that big Monday candle, and then oil just resumed grinding higher for the whole week after that? Or are we going to be right back to that situation? Or maybe we're going to give peace a chance this time. Who knows? This might be the time we finally decide to stop killing each other in the Middle East. Crazier things have happened. Speaking of that, we've got the UAE's oil boss says Hormuz is still shut with Iran restricting access. The ships are not moving, at least not yet. The Strait of Hormuz remains closed, with Iran still restricting access and preventing energy flows to global markets, the head of the biggest oil producer in the UAE said. Tehran says transits must be under its supervision. Conditional passage is not passage. It is controlled by another name, Sultan Al Jaber, chief executive of Abu Dhabi's national oil company, said in comments on LinkedIn. The strait must be open fully, unconditionally, and without restriction. Iran's Ports and Maritime Organization has announced two designated safe routes for vessels entering and exiting Hormuz, state-run Nahr News said earlier on Thursday. It added the routes were established to avoid the potential presence of sea mines in the area, mines that they laid, by the way, not the first time they'd done it. An estimated 230 vessels in total filled with oil and ready to sail, he said. ADNOC itself has loaded cargoes and will expand production within the constraints of the damage it has suffered to its infrastructure during the war, Al Jaber said, adding that the company has a responsibility to its customers once the safety of its employees and crews is assured, meaning they're kind of still operating under force majeure. But hey, they hope as soon as the strait opens up, they can do that again. Again, still no details on what's going to happen. Are they actually going to open the strait? Is the world really going to pay extortion to these jihadi a-holes in Iran? I keep hearing about this. I don't see any cases of anybody actually paying this toll. Everybody's talking about it. Are they actually paying it? I don't know. Salmer Cogliano from What's Going On with Shipping has done a fantastic job, by the way, covering the navigation issues with this war. He was posting yesterday, or he reposted somebody else's comment, that does anybody actually have an example of anyone paying the extortion to the Iranians? I just don't know how it's going to work, but they're still talking about it. All right, here's the GDP growth rate data. We got 0.5%. You can see that's the final estimate, down sharply from that 4.4% we saw in the third quarter. The U.S. economy expanded at an annualized rate of just 0.5% in the final quarter of 2025, revised down further from 0.7% in the second estimate and 1.4% in the preliminary reading, mainly due to a downward revision to investment. This continues to mark the weakest growth since the first quarter of the year when the economy contracted. Remember, that contraction was largely driven by a rush to get imports into the country ahead of the tariffs. Also, a lot of gold coming into the U.S. ahead of the tariffs drove that GDP negative. Not good. Not great, Bob. Not going to lie. Now, also not great. Let's refresh this and see if we get the accurate print here. We did. United States personal income, you may notice the yellow bar down here, negative 0.1%. Income went down in February. That's not good. That is also not great, Bob. U.S. personal income fell by 0.1% month over month in February 2026 following a 0.4% increase in January and defying expectations of a 0.3% rise. This marked the first decline since May of 2025, largely reflecting a $38.4 billion drop in personal dividend income and a 21.6% decline in current transfer receipts, partially offset by higher compensation and farm proprietors' income. Disposable personal income fell by 0.1% after increasing 0.9% in January. So we made less money. That's how you take away from that. We made less money, but don't worry, we spent even more. What, is that supposed to be good news? Yeah, apparently. U.S. personal spending grew by 0.5% month over month in February. That is up from 0.3% spending growth in the month of January, totaling $103.2 billion, up from a downwardly revised 0.3% increase in January, in line with expectations. The rise was fueled by higher goods spending, particularly in motor vehicles and parts. Non-durable goods, clothing and footwear, spending on services also climbed, driven by healthcare, financial services and insurance, and transportation services. However, inflation-adjusted consumer spending inched up just 0.1% after stagnating in January. I'm not so worried about that inflation adjustment. Spending is going up and income is going down. That means the debt is getting bigger. We also got our PCE inflation. This is the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. We get CPI tomorrow. The market more closely watches that one. February came in at 2.8% headline inflation. That's the year-over-year number, in line with expectations and unchanged from the January number. Again, this is February, and this is before the war started. We're not going to stay here long, guys. Next month is going to be higher. April will probably be even higher than that. How much remains to be seen? Also, the core inflation number came in at 3.0%. That is down a tick from 3.1% in January. Don't get too excited about that 0.1% decline in core inflation. It's not going to stay there. Even though, you know, core strips out food and energy, a jump of $30 a barrel in oil prices will spill over into core inflation and eventually drag that one higher as well. And in the least shocking headline ever, OpenAI pauses Stargate UK data center, citing energy costs. Other articles mention the regulatory environment. And look, guys, this headline captures the whole story. Of course they paused this data center. It was a dumb idea to begin with. Power is too expensive in Europe. Data centers are these big power-consuming behemoths that already lose money even with cheap power here in the United States. Of course they're pausing this. This is just another example of OpenAI is running out of money. They're cutting what they can. They just cut Sora a month ago. I mean, Sora was going to, like, remember when everybody was like, oh my God, Sora's going to put everybody in Hollywood out of business? Well, no, it's dead. And now OpenAI is pausing data centers. Again, this is a pause as if to say, don't worry, we're going to start it back up next month or something. But pauses have a funny way of turning into cancellations. You're going to see more stories like this, guys. There was a Bloomberg article a couple of weeks ago that mentioned that more than half of the current data centers that have been announced this year will either be delayed or canceled outright and never get built. And, well, this is one of them. Meanwhile, Meta unveils the first AI model from costly super intelligence team. Oh, good, another LLM. Meta Platforms on Wednesday unveiled Muse Spark, the horribly named first artificial intelligence model from a costly team it assembled last year to catch up with rivals in the AI race. Shares of the company gained 7% on this news. U.S. tech giants are under pressure to spend money. Yeah, all this stuff. There's some interesting tidbits here, though. The model, the first the company has released in about a year, initially will be available only on the lightly used Meta AI app and website. In the coming weeks, it will replace the existing Llama models powering chatbots on WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, and Meta's collection of smart glasses. Meta did not disclose Muse Spark's size, a key measure typically used to compare an AI system's computing power with rivals. It also changed course from previous open releases of its Llama models, instead sharing only a private preview of Muse Spark with unnamed partners. It looks like Meta's trying to avoid the headlines of, hey, this thing can't count, or, you know, these things are so stupid. Look at the silly mistakes it makes. They're only letting a couple of people have access to this, probably people who have already agreed in advance to give it a shining review and talk about how great it is. If you think I'm kidding, OpenAI just bought a podcast to do the same thing. The initial model is small and fast by design, blah, blah, blah. Okay, some rough edges, though. There was a couple of things here. Let me see if I can find the data. All right, independent evaluations of MuSpark's performance show it catching up with top models from market leaders at Google, OpenAI, and Anthropic in some areas, like language and visual understanding, but lagging in others, like coding and abstract reasoning. Now, coding is important here. It's lagging in coding because right now, Anthropic's use of AI to generate code is really the only tangible business case for AI that anybody has been able to produce anywhere. Everywhere else, it's a complete waste of time. But in the software development space, it does appear to be a productivity-enhancing tool, as I'm often reminded by some software developer somewhere every time I talk about how AI has completely failed to live up to the promise of all of these Silicon Valley hypesters. Yes, I get it, it helps the software developers, but there is this entire other economy outside of software development you guys may not be aware of. And also, this is interesting here. The model tied for fourth place on a broad index of AI tests compiled by evaluation firm Artificial Analysis. Tied for fourth place, all right? After a year of assembling their superintelligence lab and spending $200 billion in hiring Alexander Wang and Yann LeCun quit because he says, don't worry, this is a dead end. I'm going to go do my own thing. They're tied for fourth place. Congratulations, $200 billion tied for fourth place. And Meta stock was up on this news yesterday. Right now, the stock, let's refresh this, get an accurate mark. It's 9:08 a.m. and Meta is up 1.3% ahead of the opening bell after rising 6.5% yesterday, currently trading at $621.21. But Meta is also in the news for this one here. Meta today commits to spending an additional $21 billion with CoreWeave as AI costs keep rising. CoreWeave stock is ripping on this news. I'm not going to spend too much time on this one. Here's the story here. Here's what they're not talking about. They're going to make a big deal out of the headline because CoreWeave is going to take this headline and then they're going to go to some private credit Blue Owl-like organization and they're going to say, lend us money. Look, Meta has promised to spend $21 billion on our product. And they're going to be like, is it non-binding? Oh, we don't really care because we're not going to hold this debt ourselves. CoreWeave's going to go out and use this to raise money. They did the same thing with spending commitments from OpenAI. CoreWeave just last month raised another $8.5 billion of debt. The company already loses money. They already can't afford their debt service cost. It's about to get bigger, but that's really the takeaway here. But for now, CoreWeave shareholders who will buy anything as long as you put it on Ron Burgundy's teleprompter, $91, up $2.10, 2.5% higher after ripping 4.3% yesterday, along with the rest of the broader market. And last but not least, we've got PIMCO seeks to sell part of $14 billion Oracle data center debt. We talked about this one yesterday, and there's some interesting details in this article that I wanted to talk about. First of all, the fact that they're looking to sell it, all right? PIMCO, they don't want to let this sit on their own books. They want to get this off their books as soon as possible. Also, keep in mind, PIMCO, this is private credit. The phrase private credit doesn't appear anywhere in this article. But keep in mind, Oracle is using private credit to build data centers. Pacific Investment Management is looking to sell a portion of the $14 billion of debt financing it's providing for a massive Oracle data center in Michigan, according to people with knowledge of the matter. The campus in Saline Township will be backed by $16.3 billion of financing, roughly 15% of which is going to come from an equity investment, according to people who asked not to be identified. The remainder will be financed with bonds issued by a special purpose vehicle, or SPV. Why is that important? Because special purpose vehicles is how big companies hide their debt. This is what Enron did, how Enron hid their debt. They called them Raptors. They were special purpose vehicles, basically shell companies that they set up, and then all the debt lives on that shell company, and it never shows up on Oracle's books. All right, Blue Owl is helping Meta do this. This is one of the shady accounting practices, one of many that is being used to keep this AI bubble inflated, all while they sell this garbage debt to people's retirement accounts. PIMCO is anchoring the financing, which is being led by Bank of America. The bonds have a 19.5-year maturity and a 14-year weighted average life, a 19 and a half year maturity on a data center full of chips that will last 4 to 6 years. Somebody make it make sense to me. I don't know, but that's what they're telling us. This is interesting. The documents show for 6 years, the borrower will pay back interest only with the bond amortized over the following 13 years. All right, interest-only loans, those never cause problems, right? Like certainly not around 2008, 2009 timeframe, right? Interest-only loans is usually a sign that the borrower is in great shape financially, isn't it? When they take out interest-only debt. So we got special purpose vehicles, interest-only debt, private credit, all living in the same space. Oh, the AI bubble, it can't pop fast enough, guys. There's just no limit to the depths that they will sink to. Anyways, guys, that's all I got for you today. I want to thank you very much for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button so you can come on back tomorrow. We got CPI tomorrow morning. Thank you very much to all my magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.